My guest is landlord Redlands Jeff. Again, his real name isn't Jeff, and he's not from Redlands. We're talking about the accidental landlord, he likes to call himself. Unorthodox, but working very well. All his tenants are very happy, and they all happen to be women between 25 and 35 years old who work at...
I pick them right.
That could not be farther from the truth. Just
sorry.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. No. So you acquired all these properties. In a year or so, you're going to be 65. You work hard. You have a maintenance guy, of course. You're not, in the beginning, you were the maintenance guy. But you're still, it's a lot of oversight. And if it was just picking the tenants,
yeah,
it'd be fun. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion is for Jeff to just get a real good property manager, whether it's a company or a single agent or something. But it's so tough to let go. This is your mm-hmm. baby. You want to see and control everything. So what is an option? You went to something called the Gray Tsunami.
Yes. So I went with a buddy. He owns a lot of single-family homes. I own multi-unit places, so we have a lot in common. And we drove down to San Diego, and much to my surprise, there were like 250 people at this seminar. And they had guest speakers, very professional. And they talk about property management companies, you know, a lot of people giving their cards out, that kind of thing. It is an option. I have spoken to people about it, and
it's still a
viable,
viable option.
You know, and then they started talking about something that was unfamiliar to me at the time. It's called these triple net leases, and where you can, they get the listings for your buildings, and then they kind of cash in and they parlay in order to do a 1031 exchange to get around paying.
Avoiding capital gains.
Capital gains. And so you start a brand new amortization schedule. You're on a tax roll. It's a whole, it's just a whole nother venture. And,
I didn't think about it. I forgot about that. Your tax basis is zero, so suddenly you have a lot of benefits.
So you do have some write-offs
that you don't have now.
Exactly, because my appreciation, all that stuff. So to make a long story short,
you said appreciation. You meant depreciation,
yeah,
right.
Interest and all that. It's waning. So
appreciation is not your problem. You got plenty of that.
You
have already depreciated the thing. So this is, okay, so keep going.
So they pitched that not only can we replace your positive cash flow, but also your equity. And so I try to break things down. If it's not on a 3x5 card, I can't get it. And so let's say you go in with $1 million and it pays you 5.5% to 6%. They all vary. You would get a check for about $5,000 every month, $5,500, maybe $6,000. And so that's kind of the game. And so depending on how much you own, that depends on how much you would make a month. And then...
And do they tell you that it's ironclad guaranteed?
That's where it gets a little gray, okay? So I actually went and I call them the blue suit boys. And all these guys in blue suits are talking to me. And... And they're pitching things like going into a Dollar General or a Rite Aid or a Walgreens, O'Reilly Auto Parts, okay? And that's what you put your money into. And then...
And would you be doing it exclusively, or might there be other people you'd be having partners?
The way I understand it, if it's a real, real big piece of property, then it's like a pie. You're a slice of the pie. So, but while I'm in the waiting room, there's a guy... And he says, what are you doing here?
Waiting room for the blue suits guy.
Yeah, the blue suit boys. And anyway, long story short, he said, I'm signing up. He had 32 units in Fontana. Pardon me.
Wow.
And he goes, I'm going to do it. And I said, well, do you mind me asking, what are you buying? And he goes, I'm going to buy two Dollar General stores, one in Tennessee and one in Georgia. I said, really? why Dollar General? He goes, they're corporate backed. So if you lose money, they back you. I said, really? So they're calling him in. I said, can I get your number? You mind if I call you? You know, so I called him. And I actually just talked to him a couple of weeks ago.
And when did you first meet him? How long ago?
This was over a year ago. And so he's been doing it. He's in.
He made the?
He's in. And so I called. I said, hey, how's it going? I call him Triple Net Neil. Anyway, I actually gave him a name and my contact. And he goes, it's going fine. It's going great. You know, and then at the end of the conversation, very quickly, I said, well, Neil, can we pretend we're buddies? Is there anything that's wrong? I keep hearing all these great things. Is there anything bad that I should know about?
Great question.
Okay, and this is where the utility, if you've got listeners out there. And he goes, well, gosh, my wife got a call the other
day. Did you just say, if I have listeners out there?
Well, if you have listeners who are in my position.
Thank you for completing that thought.
Yeah, out of the mouths of babes. And he said, well, we got a call. There was complaints about weeds in the front, the side, and the back of our Dollar General store in Tennessee. And what I wanted to say was, you mean you're getting a phone call 3,000 miles away in California about weeds? But I could tell he disclosed too much to me. He felt, because there was a little moment of silence when I asked him about the negative stuff. And so I didn't want to push him because I was just thankful that he's giving me information and that I've got this contact. And then I received something in the mail the other day, and I didn't tell you about this, but here's a list of, I have somebody else sort of talking to me about all these options for triple net leasing.
Right, right.
And in the fine print at the very bottom of the page, you almost need a magnifying glass. It says, triple net, tenant pays all taxes, insurance, and maintenance. Owner usually maintains roof, structure, and maybe other items.
Landscaping, maybe.
Well, can you imagine paying for a roof on the top of a Walgreens or a Rite Aid? All of a sudden, so I'm just saying you got to go in with eyes wide open.
No free lunch. It's not
this is not a panacea.
A bank. It's not just a bank.
Nope. So I have to do more research. So I'm just sharing with you as I go, this is where I am.
And a friend of mine in town who shall remain nameless. But her first name rhymes with, no, I won't do that. And she owns property.
Yes.
Very successful.
Yep.
And she was, no way I'm going to let anyone manage my money, my real estate. You know, I think a lot of people do what you're considering doing, and I think it could work out fine. Your option is to keep going what you're doing or to try a property management company.
Yep.
You can do that, and then you could rescind that.
Right.
It's not, your ability, if you go the other route and sell everything, you're in.
Right.
And you're done.
And I've got a gal that takes maintenance calls for me, and she's very willing and able. I do have a repairman. He's had some interpersonal problems on the side. But
I have this thing you emailed me about a story. We're really out of time.
Okay.
We're really running out of time, and I don't want to. But it was kind of you wrote this joking thing about the problems you have with managing a maintenance guy. So you have a maintenance guy. You have a woman who's kind of, you have a property manager right now.
Sure.
Kind of, quasi. Okay.
Yep.
And my thought is you could cut a deal where you could always pick the tenants. And just do that and then walk away and let them, just have them send you a check. And that would be, maybe you could look into that. So,
possibility.
Gosh, thank you so much for a great weekend.
Mark,
my college buddy from
so
1977.
Much fun. There's nobody I would saw down avocado trees with.
Oh, my God. The neighbor's avocado tree fell. It could have hit somebody. It could have hit the fence. It was a major job. We cut it up. And in payment, he's taking home avocados to Redlands, if in fact he lived in Redlands. I just want to end with this on a serious note, Jeff. I want to dedicate today's program to the memory of Jeff's dad, Phil Capon. I met him. He died just when Jeff turned 50, 15 years ago. I met him a few times, and Jeff always talked about his dad like he was Abe Lincoln, and his dad raised 4 sons and 1 daughter, and they did a great job. We love you, Phil.
Thanks.